So the last week or so and into next week, we are going to be learning about how we experience God, God's revelation. And last week we talked about the Word, and this week we're going to be talking about nature, about God's creation. But I need to start out by first asking you, have you heard the one about the scientist and God? No? Well, let me tell you that. A scientist, a very renowned world scientist, who is a very godly man, passed away one day, and God came back and called all humankind that believed in him to join him in heaven. And so the scientist was up in heaven, and the scientist had always worked for an employer that challenged him all the time. So he was used to these challenges. So he thought he'd share it with God, and he said to God, he's like, I'd like to challenge you, God. And God said, sure, I'm in. And he said, how about if we both try to create a human being? And so God said, sure. So God bent down and picked up some dust and started forming a human being. And the scientist bent down, picked up some dust, and tried forming a human being. And God said, wait a minute, wait a minute. Create your own dust. So we think that we create, but we can't make something out of nothing. So I'm going to propose the idea that we are simply rearrangers. And about this time of year, we start getting catalogs for bulbs, for fall planting. And I get really excited. And I tell my wife, yeah, I'm going to create a wonderful garden. And she reminds me that we don't create, we simply rearrange. We use what God has given us. If you've ever come over to our house during one of the holidays, you will see plastered on bulletin boards and across our mantle and TV and maybe even the refrigerator, some of the creations or some of the rearrangements, I should say, of our children that they've made since preschool. And if you come over to our house now, you will see our Easter creations still up, rearrangements still up. Things that kids have created since they were in school and beyond. And the reason Lynn puts these up is because she's trying to show our children how she values them, how she values these things that they have made. But also it shows us how she values our children. So when we look at God's creation, it has value. And for us, God has value as he values us. I'd like to read you a scripture from Romans 1 to 20. Ever since the creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he has made. So they, and it's referring to human beings, are without excuse. So seeing God, we can either accept him or reject him. Now up front, I put together a bit of a display. I won't say I created it because I didn't create it, but I took some of God's creations around the church and snipped off a few. Also, if you look out this window especially, you can see God's creations coming back after a long Michigan winter. So theologians term seeing God in nature as a general revelation. That's as opposed to a specific revelation, and I'll get to that in a bit. So when you look out that window as Christians, we see God through our context. That's a Western Christian context. God is the Father of Jesus Christ, the Son. But a Hindu, and I work with many Hindus, looking out that window, may see God in creation as Brahma, the Creator. And finally, maybe even somebody who doesn't know God well, certainly doesn't know Jesus Christ, but has been exposed to bits and pieces, might look out that window and see themselves as God. These are not the same God. These are not the same God. Only one has Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit as part of the Trinity. That's where special revelation comes in. Special revelation points to God's Word, which we heard about last week, and Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, nature is a good thing, and living a godly life is a good thing, but neither will ever portray to others what God has done to us through Jesus Christ. A person can model love. A person can model servant leadership. A person can model hope, faith, and charity. But you need words to model what Jesus has done for us. The only way to expose other people to Jesus Christ is to share our story and God's story. So we need to reveal Jesus. We need to pray for opportunities to be able to do that. This is the beginning of a fruitful witness. Most people, according to author Timothy Schultz, order their lives, make decisions, and pursue their interests through webs of meaningful relationships. Now, webs of meaningful relationships, that may be sharing a meal with somebody or joining in on a special occasion. And I think especially it's about finding a person of peace. Now, let me define what a person of peace is. Many of you in this room are persons of peace. You are people that I could go to if I wanted to bridge the gap between one person and yourself. Let me give you an example of a person of peace that is not a member of our congregation, but it is a Christian, and that is Mrs. Vang, the owner of Bangkok 96, and more recently, the owner of Bangkok Street Food in Detroit. I took a young adult down to her new location to meet her and to talk with her a little bit. And this young adult that I'm speaking of is a minority. And Mrs. Vang is an immigrant who came to this country and just connected with this young man so well. Sharing her story and the story of Jesus Christ. So the one thing we need to do is express that a way, or the way that a person worships, even if it's different than ours, as long as it doesn't compromise the gospel message. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit for the right minute to share our story as well as the story of Jesus Christ. In other words, what I'm saying is, as a church, we all must be missionaries. We must have a missionary mindset. So why do we need to have a missionary mindset? Well, first of all, some people know that God exists, but because of their sinfulness, they resist wanting to have a relationship with him. A missionary-minded person creates a relationship with non-believers and actively points out how important relationship is in our life. Also, we know people that aren't quite ready to have a relationship with God, or they think they're not quite ready. So they hold off having that relationship with them until, and you can fill in the blank here, maybe they say, well, I'll have a relationship with God after I clean up my act. Or maybe I'll have a relationship with God once I have kids, or maybe once the kids are out of the house. I'll have a relationship with God maybe once my life is simplified. Actually, no time is better than right now to have a person confess their sins, repent, and turn to God. A missionary-minded person will also have a balanced lifestyle, or as I like to call it, a holistic lifestyle, in which they are concerned about their mind, their body, their relationship, and spirituality. Fourth, a missionary-minded person shares the good news of Jesus Christ in a simple manner, in an understandable manner, and speaks about how important it is to have a relationship with Him, follow Him, and obey His teachings. And finally, a missionary-minded person convicts their family of faith to obey the Great Commission. Remember, the Great Commission is not a suggestion, it is a commandment. Having a general revelation of God is a first step, but it is not a specific revelation. Only through sharing that God loves us so much that He gave His Son for our forgiveness, and whoever believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will have eternal power with them. Amen.